Well, good afternoon, Bill Belichick. I don't know what's good about it, but I'll say afternoon.
Steve, Fred, how are you doing?
How are we doing?
Well, the reality is set in. We heard your press conference this afternoon. We all know what the story is. How different was today here for you, the coaching staff, players, et cetera?
It was pretty much a normal Monday, Glenn, in terms of grading a film and meeting with the players and going over the corrections and, starting to get ready for the Jets. So it's feel bad that for Tom, of course. But we all got a job to do, and so we're going to do it.
How much do you change up what you do when you go from a Tom Brady to a Matt Castle? I mean, we know the difference in the two players or whatever, but are there certain things that maybe one player is comfortable doing or can do and the other one might not? Do you change up anything that you do out there?
Well, we change up quite a bit from week to week anyway, Glenn. You know, different game plans based on who we're playing and how we match up against them and so forth. And, sure. I mean, every player has things that are he's a little more comfortable with or kind of his, favorite type of throws or plays. If that's the case, we'll do that. But our offense is our offense, and we've been running it, and we're going to keep running it, and we'll modify it on a week-to-week basis based on who we play and what we think gives us the best chance against that team.
Yeah, there's a misconception out there that there's a Tom Brady playbook and a Matt Castle playbook, and that's just not the case.
Not even close, yeah. I don't know who would think that.
Guys,
we don't know.
Pete, go ahead, name names.
I mean, it's hard enough for the players to learn one playbook, let alone learn one for every quarterback and then one for every receiver.
Well, also, obviously, the positives of Matt Castle, he started the preseason, and he's been here for a long time. He's an intelligent kid. He looked like he was very calm out there, controlling the cadence pretty well, and didn't get rattled.
Yeah, I thought Matt did a good job. The throw out of the end zone was a huge play. Start the 98-yard drive, touchdown pass was excellent, putting up there high in the back of the end zone. He scrambled out a couple times, and so not perfect. Never is, no quarterback or any player, but I thought he did a good job managing the game and getting the ball to the receivers that were open and not making bad decisions and not making bad throws.
How much thought went into throwing on the first play when he came in? Because you knew that Gunther was going to bring everyone up.
Right. That's not a big consideration. I think that you put a quarterback in the game, you run the play, he runs the play you call. So I don't think anybody's – I know from a defensive standpoint, I never felt that. I felt like whatever quarterback came into the game, they were going to run whatever play they felt like calling based on that situation.
Was that first pass play of his, the 51-yarder to Moss, was there actually a read on the play by Moss and by Castle?
The main thing we were trying to do was, to get the defense to, step up a little bit on the play action and create some space there. And they were basically in a man-free kind of coverage. And Surtain came up and Randy ran by him and stacked him. And then Randy did a nice job of kind of shielding the ball with his body. And then, cut back on McGraw and got a few extra yards. So, depending on where the coverage was, Randy would have gone to, was like any receiver tries to get open, go to a good open space. But it was good protection. We're probably fortunate that they kind of bit on the play as much as they did. I think they probably thought we were going to try to just run it, punch it out, and punt it. And, Josh it was a real nice call in that situation. You usually don't run that kind of play action on 3rd and 11, but on your own 1 yard line, maybe it did make some sense because they were kind of looking for us to try to gain a couple of yards to help the punting team.
It looks like the offensive line was much more cohesive this week. Did a nice job of picking up the rushes. Was it that on film?
I thought our protection overall was pretty good, Fred. We gave up a sack on the flea flicker where by the ball hand time, the ball handling, and all that took place. We just
seemed slow.
It didn't really. Wasn't a good play, obviously, and didn't really time out as well as we would like for it to. But, otherwise, I thought the protection was pretty good. And particularly on the touchdown pass, I thought that was one of our best plays where we had good protection. And then Dan Copen came and really kind of pushed the pocket aside so that Castle could step up. And, Mankins did a good job in there on at the line of scrimmage. And so Matt was able to step up and, make a good throw and, really have plenty of time to get in there and drill it. And Randy made a great catch. So it was good play all the way around. But I thought our offensive line did a good job.
Bill, the local and national media are throwing a bunch of names out there about quarterbacks that have had a cup of coffee or maybe even a little bit more than a cup of coffee somewhere in the National Football League and questioning why Matt Castle is the guy. You talk about how much confidence you have in him. I got to believe you're not going to bring the guy back for a fourth year unless you feel he can do something out there on the football field. So I'd just like to ask, what are they missing? What do you see in Matt Castle that you have the confidence in him that he can take over this football team?
Well, I think yesterday's game is a good example of it, and that's will be Exhibit A. So,
well, obviously, we talk about preseason games. Steve brought up the point. A preseason game is a practice. You see, you know, five practices a week, and the media sees half of a game four times a year in preseason, and they're making their judgments. You know, you go out there in preseason, you're trying to look at players, and you evaluate with your criteria, and obviously the press has theirs, and to make a decision to keep a guy goes a lot deeper than just four preseason games.
Yeah, right. I mean, in this case, it goes 4 years. So, you know, I think what Matt did yesterday is what you want your quarterback to do is go into game, not make any big mistakes, make the plays that are there, and manage a team and move the ball and move the team in the end zone and score some points. And, you know, we had a chance to score a few more than we did. You know, we had a penalty down there in a red area. We turned the ball over twice, you know, in good scoring position. But, you know, we obviously would like to get more than 17 points. But, you know, I thought that we had a pretty decent day moving the ball offensively and getting ourselves in position. We got to finish those drives and get the ball in the end zone and, you know, get it up into the 20s where, you know, statistically your best chances of winning are.
Well, defensive backs – wise quickly is there's some big defense offensive receivers, you know, Garcia and number 82 was
Gonzalez
and
Bo.
Yeah, Bo. I mean, they're big kids.
Oh, they're all big, yeah.
And they catch. That's a tough matchup for smaller corners, and look like they did a pretty good job in coverage.
Yeah, I think these receivers, Fred, are probably as big as any we're going to see all year. With Bo and Darling and Webb and, you know, the kids that didn't play, Franklin. So that it's a big group. And then, of course, they use Gonzalez as a receiver quite a bit. They flexed him out, and so he's a handful. So that's right. Their size was a big thing, and you know, I thought our guys competed pretty well on them. They hit us on a couple of those third down plays where they just caught the ball right at the sticks, you know, just barely enough for the first down. So it was a good play on their part. We just got to get on a little bit tighter and take those away. But it was, you know, they have a big group on offense, and their whole team's big. You know, the backs are big, you know, and their Johnson's big. And the receivers are big. They got a big offensive line, so they're a big physical team, kind of along the Jacksonville lines of those kind of receivers.
Given the magnitude of this injury, I mean, Tom being one of the best players in the NFL, is this something you have to address to the team, or is it something that they understand in terms of where you go from here?
Well, we talked about it a little bit. I mean, obviously, it's a big national story and all that. So, you know, I addressed the team and I told them what. You know, what actually the facts were, and not to, you know, get too misled by some of the things that are, you know, coming across the crawlers on the screen and all that.
Right.
So, you know, I did address that. But, you know, the main thing is for all of us that, you know, we got to start getting ready for the Jets, and we're moving on. Everybody's got a job to do, and we need to do it well.
Do you think on Sunday against the Jets at the Meadowlands that you'll only have two quarterbacks dressed for that game? Is that a possibility?
It's definitely a possibility, yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at now. We'll just, you know, look at what our options are going forward and make the best decision for the football team. But we really we haven't done that yet. So whatever, if we decide to add a third, then, you know, we'll feel like there's a good reason for it. And if we don't, then we'll go with what we got.
So all the quarterbacks you've brought in so far, that isn't true. The media is, again.
No, we haven't worked anybody out.
Elway, Bledsoe, those guys didn't come in. Right?
Yeah, no. Sandy Marino, no. No, we, Johnny.
Kelly's still available.
Yeah. No, we didn't. We haven't worked out any quarterbacks, and there are a lot of. Of course, we've gotten a lot of calls, as you can imagine, from
agents
and, yeah, and even some players that want to play quarterback. But really,
Steve,
you know, right now we're right now we're not really. That's not the direction that we're heading in at the moment. We're, like I said, we watched the film. We're going to make some corrections. We're going to move on to the Jets, and you know, Castle and O'Connell will be. You know, the two main guys going down there. If we add a third, then we add a third. If we don't, we don't. But right now, we're planning on playing with, you know, with those two.
Is Matt Gutierrez still out there?
He is.
Is he a possibility?
Yes, he'd be an option. He's one of the options.
How difficult would it be to bring a guy in, Coltrick, that knows nothing about this offensive gameplay and the scheme, to come in and have to play?
Impossible.
Impossible. So, yeah. I mean, it's almost useless to bring in a guy that's not familiar.
Well, I think if you brought somebody in that didn't know the system, you'd have to expect that it would take a while for them to really be able to go out there and be functional in it. I think it would take 3-4 weeks. Or you'd have to cut it back to the point where you really simplified things where we may be only be running, 20-30% of our offense.
Where the media could understand it. You'd cut it back to that point.
Well, it'd have to be cut back pretty far.
That is a point, though.
I was in that situation one time in Cleveland where we brought in Mike Tomczak, who wasn't with us, and he started that game that week. And I'd say we probably went back to about 30% of our offense. Mm. Just, A, so he could practice it, and B, with the reads and the adjustments and all that, there just wasn't any time to, really execute those between the quarterback and the receivers, except on a very limited basis. And then, you try to build through it as you go, but it was that's probably about as tough a situation as you could have.
That's what the media keeps saying. Bring someone in that's just going to, what is it, hand the ball off and throw? Adjustments and the reads and the terminology and all that stuff.
Formations and just, just managing the game.
Terminology, right? I mean, even a guy came in and plays were similar. The terminology may be totally different. But we've been talking about this during the course of this afternoon. It's amazing. And we're watching the monitors up here with the NFL Network and ESPN and whatever. And there is all the speculation of bringing a guy in. And you've just clarified it would take a while for even a seasoned veteran out there to be able to pick up a lot of this stuff. Is that one of the reasons that you would hesitate in doing that and bringing one of those guys in?
Yeah, well, I mean, bring him in to do what?
Yeah.
Will Kevin Faulk be activated this weekend?
Yeah, Kevin returned to the team today, and I think that there's, I would expect that providing he has a normal, normal week of practice and is back to where his normal form is, I would think that he'd be ready for the Jets.
Do you have to make a roster move to do that?
We have to make it by tomorrow. There's a one-day exemption with him coming back, so we need to make it by 4 p.m. Tuesday.
Well, Brady went on the IR, right? Would that be a...
He wasn't placed on the IR today.
So that could be an option to put his spot, right?
Yes.
All right. You think most teams are going to assume, we all know that, that word means, but most teams are going to assume that you're going to run the ball more because of the injury to Tom? And how can you use that to your advantage?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what everybody else is thinking, but I think that certainly is a possibility. Teams could look at it that way. And I think we do have pretty good backs. I thought the backs ran well yesterday, mm-hmm. so they might be concerned about the running game. I think, hopefully they're concerned about our receivers, too. In a passing game, I mean, I think in the end, regardless of who your quarterback is, you'd like to be a balanced offense. And as much as we can do that, that's what we've always tried to be, and that's what we'll continue to try to be. If they won't let you run it and you can throw it, then you need to throw it. If they won't let you throw it, then you need to run it, be able to run it. So now there's times in a game where you got to do one or the other. Certain times in a game dictate you got to throw. And you better be able to pass, block, and throw. And there's certain times when you got to run for a yard or two or 10 on three downs. And if you can do it, you'll probably win. And if you can't, then, better be able to stop them. So
how much does that play into your game plan, what Pete was just saying, about what other teams are now going to expect from you? How much does that change what you can do? Because they're expecting something totally different here with this quarterback than they were with the last quarterback.
Well, I think when you go into any game, Glenn, you every team has the core things that they do, and then they might have a few change-ups for the particular team that they play, or in our case, what we think they would do against us. So I don't think any team's going to not have some kind of balance there. But we would have that. We would have certain defenses that we would call in real running situations, or maybe if it was – the weather conditions were such that we felt like it would be really hard for that team to throw or throw into the wind or whatever, that we would, have some of those defenses in our game plan. And at the same time, you have some passing calls where if you get ahead or, it's a long down and distance situation, first and 25, second and 25, you want to play those, you need to have those calls too. So I think that kind of extends into your preparations both ways. And then as the game goes and you play that team, you start to get a feel for what they're doing against you. Then if they're playing you a certain way, then you adjust accordingly. whether they're playing you man, whether they're playing you zone, whether they're playing you, you know, pressure, in whatever form it is. So,
is there a leadership void with Tom out of there? And if so, how do you fill that void?
Well, I think that every player and every coach needs to, you know, needs to do their job. And if a person goes out, whether it's Tom or anybody else, if a person goes out of the lineup, then the next person that steps in needs to, you know, perform that job as the best they can. Obviously, Tom's a great player. He's the MVP in the league last year, so I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying whoever the next guy is has to do their job. Part of that position, you know, has to do with leadership. But, you know, Matt and Kevin have had to do that in the past, whether it's, you know, running the huddle, making an audible at the line, you know, run a two-minute drill or whatever it happens to be. And everybody else has to continue to, you know, do their job. There's a lot of people on this team that don't play quarterback, and they need to prepare to play their game and do their job on Sunday just like the quarterback does. So, and I don't think, you know, the more we worry about what everybody else is going to do and the less we focus on our job, then, you know, I don't think we're going to do it very well.
That's a good point you just brought up. And it's not so much bringing the game to the next level. When someone that importance gets injured, it's not letting the game slip, worrying about what someone else is going to do. You know, if you have contained and you got a two-gap, do that and don't worry about trying to make the extra play and putting yourself in a position where the team can take advantage of you making a mistake.
Right, exactly. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, we're going to have to play good defense. We're not going to be able to give up. Well, that's what we try to do every week. You know, we're going to go in there and try to play good defense every week, no matter who the quarterback is. And, well, we're going to have to run the ball. Well, we ran the ball for 5 yards a carry with Maroney and Morris yesterday. So we're going to try to run the ball no matter who the quarterback is. You know, that's – ran the ball, what, 28, 29 times a game last year. So, we're, you know, that's part of our offense.
All right, let's get to the Jets, this week's opponent. And instead of starting with the obvious with the addition of Brett Favre, they really have beefed up the stuff in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And what do they present there for you right now, both that offensive and defensive line?
Well, they've added two players to the offensive line in Faneca
and Woody.
Yep. And, you know, I think the big addition on the defensive line is Jenkins, right. Although, you know, Pace is an outside linebacker, and he's one of their front guys. So, you know, and Pace is a good pass rusher, and they use him as a defensive end in passing situations. Along with Golston, they bring him in some third down passing situations too. And Jenkins is more of a first and second down player that rotates in there with the other nose, Pua. So, but I mean, Jenkins plays more of the time. But those are the big additions there. And then they've got a rookie named Lowry starting in the secondary who's done a good job for him. You know, along with Revis and Smith's kind of jumped in there at a strong safety, and Coleman's played some nickelback in place of Poteet. So. That's kind of their changes there on defense and other offensively. Of course, they add Bubba Franks at tight end, along with Keller, the first round draft choice, and the receivers are basically the same. Although Chancey Stuckey has played some in the slot for him, and he's a second year guy. So that's, you know, it's still Leon Washington and Cotchery and Lafernius Coles and Baker and. And you know, some of the same guys on defense, David Harris and Pace and Byron Thomas and Sean Ellis. And,
we know
how
them
much,
all.
How much of a difference is their offense now? Obviously, they've got a guy who can throw a little bit deeper than the guy they had last year. But have they changed some stuff up to work stuff that was successful for Brett Favre before?
I would say that they have to a certain degree, Glenn. I think they've modified things a little bit. You see more slant patterns and, say, a few more crossing routes than, not that they didn't run them before, but I would say they run a few more of them. And then you kind of have, you know, Brett's improvision plays, like the touchdown that he threw.
Right.
It was just kind of a, you don't draw it up that way, but that's the way it ends up. And so you have to certainly be ready to defend those kind of plays with Favre, you know, where he just kind of finds some time and then slings it somewhere, you know, whether it's outside, inside, deep, or whatever.
Those shovel,
you know,
passes that he does.
Right.
Those
improvision plays
you can't
really simulate those. They just sort of develop and happen, and then he you know, he sees something and he does it. So it's just more kind of being alert and being on your toes for it.
We had to contrast Pennington. Pennington seems like a guy that takes a game plan and executes it pretty close to the vest and doesn't make a lot of those wild throws, but he's more likely to kill, you know, dink and dunk you to death, whereas Brett Favre is a guy looking for the big bomb and sometimes makes the, you know, the unfortunate throw. And he's more of, like we said, a gunslinger. But Pennington was a difficult, always gave this team a difficult time because it seemed like he could find the open receiver real well, whereas Brett will try and force it a little bit sometimes.
Right. Well, I think that Pennington's a very good decision maker. He's accurate and doesn't have the strongest arm, you know, of any quarterback we play, but he's got a good touch on the ball and he makes good decisions and he knows where to go with the ball. He very seldom throws it into you know, heavy coverage or, you know, in a place where you really wouldn't want to put it. Favre will do that. Favre will put the ball in some tight places, and he has confidence in his arm that he can stick it in there. And even though at times, you know, maybe if you were coaching a young quarterback, you wouldn't say, well, I wouldn't really recommend you make this throw. This isn't where you really want to put the ball. But, you know, Brett can see a window. He's got a gun, and he'll just, you know, laser it through there, and some of them make it through. You know, some of them don't, but he has a lot of confidence in his arm to do that, and, you know, that puts defense puts pressure on the defense in another way because you can't always count on him kind of not, you know, say, okay, well, if we play this coverage, he probably won't throw it over here. Well, that's not necessarily true. If he thinks he can get it in over there, he will throw it. So, you know, it really forces you to, you know, tight coverage on everybody.
All right, it's time for the CleanEnergyAction.com Coach's Question of the Week. This week's question, Coach, comes from Joanne Chapman. And Joanne asks,
why?
It's a cover question. What are the basic differences between cover one, cover two, cover three, Tampa two? When would they be used? Thank you and good luck this season, Coach.
Well, that would take about 2 weeks of training camp to explain all those. But
took me four.
Basically,
14, yes.
basically on those numbers, it's how many players are deep. So on cover one, you have one deep safety. On cover two, you have two deep safeties. On cover three, the safety and the corners play deep. And cover four, the corners and the safeties all kind of, you know, play sort of deep. If you run deep, all four of them are deep. You know, Tampa two is a variation of two. There's a lot of variations of three, three slide, three buzz. You know, three Mabel, three Bingo. It, you know, could all.
Wow.
Tough answer.
You didn't like the answer.
So really, it's in general terms, it's how many players are deep, and then some of the man coverages with other numbers or different combinations of man coverages, and then there's variations within each coverage. So, you know, two Tampa, two slide, two match, or just variations of cover two, little different ways of playing them.
Get that all in 4 weeks, huh, Steve? That was pretty good.
I'm still trying.
I say weeks, I meant years. Sorry.
Every Patriots Monday this year when we talk to the coach, you'll have a chance to submit your question. Ask the coach at WEEI.com's football page. If your question is chosen, you'll automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davios right here at Patriots Place. The coach's question is powered all season long by CleanEnergyAction.net. When you log on to CleanEnergyAction.net, you'll find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push the rim of the
not to you,
push
Brett.
That winning field goal
yeah,
through the uprights. Tackle your energy cost and alternatives at CleanEnergyAction.net.
What's the coach get for the question? You get $100?
Yeah, we can take care of the coach.
They'll get you
$100 worth of electricity.
Hi, Coach. Congratulations on the win yesterday. There were at least one little bonus out of yesterday. Won a football game. You're now one and one. You move on.
Won a tough move football on. Game, and you know, did a nice job in a red area there defensively at the end of the game.
How about the five plays they ran? They never told us that you called a timeout right before. Was it right before the first play?
Yeah, we took two timeouts down there. So, yeah. Yep.
They never announced it on television.
Had a bunch of people calling.
Or in the stadium. They didn't do it inside the stadium.
It was just four.
People were screaming.
That's five plays.
It was one situation where it just we were in a defense that just didn't look like it was going to be good and kind of a long cadence, so we were able to get it called and not sure what would have happened, but we just didn't like the looks of the play. We had a couple timeouts, so that's why.
You were doing the fishing rod thing.
Yeah, you were doing the fishing rod thing.
They stole that signal, the cameras. Yeah. It's the fishing rod thing.
All right, Coach, we'll see you.
All right, thanks, Glenn. Okay.
Good luck.
Steve,
Coach
Fred,
Bill
thank
Belichick
you.
Right here on Patriots Monday on The Big Show.